don't have to be so starchy. You can have fun at church. Amen. All right. Get your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 14. I'm sorry, John chapter 13. John chapter 13. We're going to read verses 31 through 35 together. And then I'll read one other verse to you. And then we'll have a special. My daughter's going to sing this morning. Praise the Lord. Good to have her home from college. And I put her to work right away. All that money we paid on her education, better put her to work. All right. John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. We'll read this passage responsively. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him." Verse 33, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go ye cannot come, so now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." And let's finish on verse 35 together. Ready? "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." I'm going to read one other verse to you. Romans chapter 13, verse number 8. The Bible says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you this morning. God, we've got to have your help. Lord, when we feel like we can't go on, you're there to hold us up. You're there to keep us strengthened, keep us encouraged, and keep us going. I pray that you bless the preaching of the Word of God. May it be a balm, a salve, a medicine to us today. Help our church. Thank you for all that you brought us through. Now help us as we go through these next days. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you'll listen to me this morning, I want to help you. Young people, if you'll listen to me, I could save you a lot of heartache. Those of us that are a little bit older and we've been through some battles, I want to help you today. When a couple gets married and take their vows, they say that they love one another. But may I say this? They really don't love each other as much then as they do after they've been married a while. My wife and I are about to celebrate 27 years next month that we've been married. Can I tell you something? I love my wife a whole lot more now than I did 27 years ago. Not because I'm such a bad person or that she's such a wonderful person, though she is. But I've learned how to love her, and I've grown in love over those 27 years. You see, when you get married, it's what we would call attraction. When you've been married a long time, it's love. I want you to understand something. Today, I want to help you with understanding that you owe a debt of love. Amen. You owe a debt of love. And as a pastor, I stand here. As a preacher, I stand here knowing today I will fail. I cannot adequately describe with man's sinful mind and words adequately how much God loves. I can't describe it enough. We would be here the rest of our lives, and I would still just be dusting the topic. It's infinite. It's endless. It's greater than we can comprehend. But I want to try today. Seven times in the Bible, God says that the greatest commandment is love. He didn't say a great commandment. He said the greatest commandment. I want you to notice something that here in John chapter 13, God said that the greatest new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. In the book of Mark, it talks about that this is the greatest commandment. All right? Now, I understand there are commandments in the Bible. Thou shalt not kill is in the Bible. But can I tell you something? There's a greater commandment you're supposed to love. I understand thou shalt not steal is in the Bible. But there is a greater commandment that is, yet thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. You see, I understand that thou shalt not commit adultery is in the Bible. But there is a greater commandment, and it's thou shalt love. God commands us seven times for the same commandment. Those others that I just gave you are given two, maybe three times in the Bible. God tells us seven times in the Bible that we are to love, and how we're to love, who we're to love, and that we owe a debt of love. I want you to notice something. Romans chapter 13, verse number 8, it says, owe no man anything. Now, we often associate that with money, but I want you to notice something. But to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now, I'm for paying our debts. I think if you take a debt, you ought to pay it. And if you can't pay it, you get a hold of whoever your debtor is, and you make arrangements with them and at least start working at it a little at a time. I believe in paying our debts. But may I say something? That verse is not about money. It's about love. Do you know that I owe you a debt of love? Did you know that you owe people a debt of love? We are bound by Scripture to obey the commandment of God. By the way, the greatest commandment, which is love. And we owe a debt of love. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1, God said that love is greater than talent. Thank God for Hannah playing the piano and my daughter with her singing and them using their talent for the Lord. But girls, you're commanded to love more than you're commanded to use your talent. Thank God for Brother and Mrs. Barnes and all that they've done this week to help, and Brother June and my dad and others that have just jumped in to get this all working. And man, let me tell you, the hours and hours, and Miss Kathy yesterday vacuuming, and Brother Ron and others, it's been unbelievable. And they've used what they have, but may I say this, a greater commandment than doing all that is love. God wants you to love. See, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 2, it says that love is more important than education. Let me say that again. Love is more important than education. I am for education. But I'd rather rear my kids illiterate and them know how to love than to educate them and them hate everybody. Problem with education in America today is we've taken God out of it. We wonder why our country is, and like it or lump it, here we are, 45% of America thinks that socialism is a better program than capitalism. Socialism is communism. Where are we learning all that? In our public schools and our public universities. And when we took God out, that comes in as the religion. See, communism, socialism is a religion. It's not just an education. It's not a political system. Now, God said in 1 Corinthians 13, 2, that love is more important than education and knowledge. Now, listen to me very carefully. Love is fulfilling the law of God. Now, let me say this. You cannot love outside of God. 1 John 4, 7, 8, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. We wonder why we have school shootings. Because we kicked God out of the schools 30, 40 years ago. We wonder why we have people being murdered daily in all over the place. Can I tell you why? We've taken the love out by taking God out. I'll promise you. God is the source of all love. By the way, My Bible says the more you know God, the more you have the ability to love God and love others. I have the ability to love my wife, my daughter, and my sons, and my daughter-in-law. I have the ability to love you. Can I tell you why? The more I get closer to God and the more I know of God, the ability to love you more kicks in. It's easy when our hearts are heavy to say, I love you. It's another thing to prove it. It's another thing to prove it. The more you love, the more you pay the debt of love you owe. It's not the more love you get, the more you pay your debt. It's the more love you give, the more you pay your debt. You don't pay your mortgage by getting money. You pay your mortgage by earning money and paying your mortgage. You have to pay it to get it, or the bank takes it away. You're supposed to pay the debt. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Love is the first on the list of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. Against such there is no law. Watch this. Love is the greatest commandment. Love is first on the list of the fruit of the Spirit. My Bible says in 1 John 3:14 that it gives us the assurance of our salvation. You see, he said, you know you're my disciples, you know you're my children if you have love for the brethren. Now, can I tell you a good test? Do you love people? Do you love your brethren? See, well, I love most of them. No. Can you look past your differences and love them anyway? Well, this person hurt me. Yeah, and who have you hurt? Now, listen to me. The distinguishing mark of a Christian is to be our love. It's not whether you smoke or don't smoke. It's not whether you drink alcohol or don't drink alcohol, though I believe those are wrong things to do. It's not necessarily how you dress, though I think we ought to dress the way we're supposed to dress. And by the way, I don't think it's right for us to choose what bathroom we go to because we're self-identifying. Oh, my soul. I got one yesterday that just cracked me up. Has a picture of this tough, rugged cowboy on there. It says, I self-identified with a woman when I was young, but then I was born. I loved it. Somebody sent me one that had the picture of a men's room sign, a ladies' room sign, and it had the one for the handicap sign. And it said, if you follow my daughter into the bathroom and you're a man, this is the one you're going to need. I had a better one for it, but I won't tell you in public. Amen? Now, wait a minute. I don't think, by the way, I think it's wrong for the President of the United States to order all public schools and public colleges. He's ordered them that if you don't let people use whatever bathroom and whatever locker room they want, then we cut federal funding. Somebody ought to cut federal funding to him. It'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before some man follows my wife or daughter into a ladies' room. Be a colder day where the booger man lives before some man goes into a locker room with my daughter to shower. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun right now. See, that's not politically correct. It's not God correct either. Now, listen to me very carefully. God commands us to love. Let me give you just a couple quick statements, and then we'll get to the heart of the sermon here. God says in Deuteronomy 10:12, we're commanded to love God. I'm going to give you five or six groups of people or people we're supposed to love. Deuteronomy 10:12 says we're supposed to love God. In Matthew 19:19 and Luke 10:30, we're commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. By the way, who is your neighbor? It's not just the person that lives next door to you. If you go to the story of the Good Samaritan where we're commanded to love our neighbor, that's a person of another nationality. and of another religion. God says we're supposed to love them. We're commanded in Ephesians 5 to love our spouse. In Luke 6:27, we're commanded to love our enemies. And in Matthew 5:46, we're commanded to those that hate us. And lastly, by the way, that means we're supposed to love the Muslims. We're even supposed to love Hillary. Now that takes a heap of love right there. That's when you sing the song, "It Takes a Miracle." Colossians 1:4 says that we're commanded to love all Christians. Now, this is the list of people we are to love and that we are commanded to love by God. I want you to notice something, the loftiness of love, the importance of it, the people we're to love. Now, here's the interesting part of it. I would like to obey God with my life, wouldn't you? I'd like to please God with my life. I'd like for God to say, "You are fulfilling my law by loving the right way and paying the debt of love that you owe." Now, today, I want to show you some how we can pay this debt of love. Now, let me give you four statements, and then I'm jumping right in. Number one, I'm commanded to love. You're commanded to love. Number two, God never commands us to do that which we cannot will ourselves to do. Do you know God didn't tell you to do something that you cannot make yourself do? God is not unfair in saying, "Well, I can't do that." Yes, you can. God gave you the wherewithal to do it. Number three, it's going to sound like a contradiction. I can't just decide to love. Number four, I can decide to do that which leads to love. I can't just decide to love, but I can decide to do that which leads to love. Let me illustrate. Did you know if I'm sick, I can't decide to be well, and all of a sudden I'm well? If I got my head laying in a bucket, bringing up last night's dinner, I can't just say, "Shazam, I feel like being well and everything's all right." I can decide to do that which gets me to the process of being well. But I can't just decide to be well. Now, I can do things that lead me to the point of being well, but I can't just decide to be well. I can't just decide to love. I can't just say, "I'm going to love Joe Heaney." And God knows, He knows why I can't just decide that. But I can decide to love him by saying I'll do that which allows me the availability to love him. Now, let me show you how we do this. It will be very quick. But may I say this, in these days, expressing love and showing love is so much more important. You know, I'm glad the last words I said to your husband, Rhonda, Brother Ray, "Love you. I love you. I want the last words my wife and children to ever hear me speak if I die to be, 'I love you.' I never leave their presence without saying it. I never call them, text them, or anything without saying, 'I love you.' Same thing with my parents. I texted my wife's family this morning and told them that I love them and they're going through a hard time. Can I tell you something? I want to love the way God wants me to love. It's easy when your heart's tender. Did you know when your heart's tender, sometimes you don't want to love everybody? It's not always that easy. Now, how do we obey this command to love? How do we pay this debt of love that we have? I have three things I want to give you, and I'm done. Number one, we must serve to love. In order to love, you have to first serve. In John 21, we have the story of Jesus and Peter, and Peter is saying, Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Lord, you know I love you. He said, no, if you love me, feed my sheep. He said, Lord, you know I love you. I'm fond of you. I'm attracted to you. He said, no, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. I want you to notice something. Three times he said, go serve to prove your love. You don't love before you serve, and then you begin to love. My wife loves me because she's learned to serve me, and please don't take that the wrong way. She is not my slave. Ladies, doing his nasty, dirty laundry is a service. It is a way for you to express your love to your husband. Fellas, making sure you get it close to the hamper when you get it off is serving your wife so she doesn't have to touch that nasty stuff anymore than she has to. Just because you stuck it to the wall doesn't mean she's going to peel it off. Now, wait a minute. You love by serving. By the way, you prove your love by your service. Can I tell you something? I love to serve those two ladies right there. Can I tell you why? I love them. I'll do anything for them. I love serving you. Doesn't matter how many hours, doesn't matter what hour of the day or night, I love serving the people of Grace Baptist Church. By the way, the more I serve, the more I love. And the more I love, the more I serve. Can I tell you what keeps a marriage going? Serving one another. Well, they just don't meet my needs. Why don't you go meet his? Why don't you go meet hers? And in the process of meeting somebody else's, and in the process of serving, you learn how to love whether they love you back or not. Love is not satisfied in getting, it's satisfied in giving. See, we need to learn to serve to love. We need to do this with God. Did you know you can't love God without serving God? I hear people say all the time, well, I love God. They don't go to church anywhere. They don't do anything for him, but they love God. And you want to say, no, you don't. Show me. If I never went home, if I never talked to my wife, if I never did anything for her, would I love her? But there's people all over this world that say, I love God, and they don't do anything for God. I'm supposed to love my neighbor. Did you know I don't have to love my neighbor's religion, but I'm supposed to love my neighbor? Yes, sir. You know, I don't have to love what the Sodomites stand for, but I'm to love them. You're looking at a man that is contrary, and I'm for the word of God, and God's against the Sodomites. By the way, that's the LGBT stuff. It's a word not used anymore. God's not for it. He didn't make Adam and Steve. God didn't say, when you decide what you are, that's what you are. Man said that, not God. All right? But I'm supposed to love my neighbor. Did you know I'm supposed to serve my wife? I'm supposed to love, my Bible says in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wife. That means I'm supposed to serve my wife. It's almost a game for us at the dinner table. Who can outserve the other one? I mean, we almost get in arguments over who's going to get up and go get something, not to not do it, but to get to do it. Say why? Because we're trying to serve each other. Did you know you're supposed to love your enemies? Do you know if my worst enemy walked through that door right now, I could still love them? Did you know you can love somebody, whether you trust them or not? I could love a rattlesnake at a distance. Just because I love it doesn't mean I trust it. My Bible says you're supposed to love those that hate you. Now listen to this very carefully here. Well, I can't love that person. They hate me. Who says? Why are you stepping down to what they are? I can love you whether you ever love me back or not. Did you know this? Watch this. You can't stop me from loving you. Na, 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 na. I love that. When my children, you know, they all go through different stages. You ought to be glad when they're 3 years old that you have to love them, because you'd kill them. Y'all know what I mean? They say the reward for not killing your children as three-year-olds and junior hires is grandchildren. I haven't gotten to that point yet, but we're getting closer. I don't know, but may I say this? Eventually, it works out. Wait a minute. Did you know you're supposed to love all Christians? Not just the ones that get along with you. I'm talking about those contrary ones. I'm talking even about the ones that don't even agree totally with the way we preach the Bible. I can love them. That doesn't mean I'm going to their meetings. Doesn't mean I'm going to listen to Dr. Stupid Mouth on the radio, but I can love him. I'm not going to listen to somebody on the radio preach that uses the wrong Bible or stands for the wrong Bible. But it doesn't mean I hate them. Everybody doing all right? Just because another church in this area, or I'm not just saying in Martinsburg here, but anywhere in the area, though they may not be exactly like us, doesn't mean that I hate them. It doesn't mean that we're going to associate with them either. But I can love them at a distance. I can be friendly to their pastor. And I am, just so you know. I have people that are my enemies that are preachers that I've been kind to. You say, why? Because I'm commanded to, and I'm not going to let them being ornery keep me from obeying God. Did you know your house, your home, is supposed to be filled with people serving each other? Did you know that brothers and sisters don't have to fight with each other? When they do, they're not obeying God's command of serving one another. And by the way, we've all been guilty of that. Don't just look at your kids. You did it too. Right, Rachel? Trying to help you out, Courtney. Did you know our church is supposed to be filled with people serving each other? Say, well, poor Miss Rhonda, but I don't know her real well. You can serve her whether you know her or not. You're going to learn to love her. She's easy to love, let me tell you. Can I tell you why Rhonda Craig loves as deeply as she does? Because she serves everywhere she goes.
Amen.
Walk into her house. Her husband's just passed away. She's up trying to serve people food and get them whatever they want. When everybody should be serving her, she's more interested in serving somebody else. That's what you call love. That's what you call love. That's why she loves so deeply. Our workplace should be filled with love. Say, where I work? Yeah, where you work. You don't know my boss. You don't know some of the bosses I had. Now, my boss now is great to work for.
Amen.
Matter of fact, he's out of this world. But when I worked in the machine shop, Brother Mike, first thing I did after I got my work clothes on, because we had uniforms, got punched in. I was always to work plenty early. I went over and made a fresh pot of coffee, made sure that it was fresh. I knew exactly how my shift managers liked their coffee. I knew that one liked four creams, four sugars. God have mercy. Four creams and four sugars fills about one-third of the cup, and the rest of it's just coffee. That's not coffee. That's hot chocolate. That's the way he liked it. I made sure his cup was always full. I did. By the way, I wasn't even sure he was saved at the time. Didn't matter. I was supposed to serve him. If the boss said, I need you to go do this, I didn't say, not my job. It was, yes, sir, and I went and did it.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Figured a way to keep my job going and go do the other part.
Mm-hmm.
Say, why? Because I was supposed to serve at work. By the way, I don't know this is true, but I think you could call my boss right now, and if I needed a job and live back there, he'd hire me back. Say why? Because I learned how to serve. When the president of the company came down to talk to me, I kept running three machines, and he said, Craig, stop. I said, no, I got a job to do. He said, I'm paying your salary. Stop. I said, okay. I said, what do you want? He said, I want to give you a raise. I said, let's talk. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to serve. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Okay. Say, well, they don't appreciate it. You know, they don't have to appreciate it. You're doing it to serve, not to be appreciated. If you're looking for somebody to do this, forget it. Some of you have a broken arm because it's constantly patting yourself. Can I tell you something? Our workplace should be filled with us loving each other. And by the way, we show God we love him by serving him. Amen. Say, what's serving him? Taking one of these gospel tracts, giving it out to somebody, knocking on somebody's door and tell them how they can know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. Right. Say, well, I don't know how to do that. Okay, come with somebody and just be the silent partner. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to be at church. We're supposed to be learning. We're supposed to be rearing our families in the Word of God. We're supposed to be loving other people and helping. Hey, you can serve God and love God by doing all those things. So we love by serving. Number two, everybody doing all right? Here we go. The Bible says we love by giving. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He didn't say where your heart is, your treasure will be. He said where your treasure is, your heart will be. You show me your checkbook register or your bank register. People don't keep a checkbook register anymore. But you show me your bank register and I'll show you what you love. Yes. You show me where you spend your money and I'll show you what you love. That's right. I didn't put that in the Bible. God did. Because God said, where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. You don't, by the way, you don't give because you love, you give to love. Can I tell you something? Treasure precedes love. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God said, when you give, you begin to love. When you invest, you begin to love. And I'm not talking about, by the way, you're not looking at a preacher that wants your money. And let me just go ahead and say it. Yes, we're going through a building program. Yes, we're raising money. Yes, we have the bond program and we've downsized to cut our bills. And by the way, I've cut my salary over $15,000 this year so that we can do those things as well. I don't need your money. God takes care of us. Amen. And I'm good with it. If I got to cut it again and go get a job, I'll do it. Say why? Because this is my life. I love God and I'll show him how much I love by how much I give. And I've given my blood, my sweat, my tears, my time, my sleep that I don't get to it. Can I tell you why? I love it. I love you. I love this church. Amen. And you love by giving. By the way, receiving doesn't make you love. Amen. Giving makes you love. That's right. That's right. Amen. Yes, sir. Receiving does not make you love somebody more. Giving more helps you love more. Right. People have been kind, and my birthday is tomorrow, and please don't do anything for it. It's the last one in my 40s, all right? Let me suffer in peace. My birthday is coming, and somebody handed me an envelope this morning, and I just honestly haven't had time for it. My secretary and her husband, Brother and Mrs. Barnes, gave me a little trophy thing yesterday that honestly just, I love it. Put it on my desk. It's in there right now. It's a little baseball in a glove. It says perseverance on the baseball. And it says, what does it say exactly? Something about you can't stop somebody who doesn't give up. Man, I love that. I might fail, but I'm not giving up. I might slow down every once in a while and make a mistake, but I'm not giving up. I'm going to get back up and swing for the fence again. Can I tell you something? Giving is what helps you love. By the way, giving isn't always money. It's not always things. By the way, anybody can give money. Anybody can give things. But listen to this statement. Giving can be your time. Sometimes your children want you more than your things. If you've got a child and they're sitting on your lap, I'll use Brother Stoltz as an illustration. He's not going to sit on my lap. But let's say he's playing with Jaden, his granddaughter, and he's busy, but he's saying, I love you. But if she has to go, Pap, listen to me, that means I want time. Then how many? Did you know the money isn't the issue? They want you. They want you. I love my mom and dad. I love them dearly. Can I tell you something? If my mom and dad go to heaven soon and they leave everything to my brother and I don't want their things. I want them. I hope they go to heaven and spend their last dollar the day they die. Can I tell you why? It's not the things, it's them. I mean that. My brother will tell you the same thing. I do want one of your guns. No. He knew that was coming. I could see it in his eyeball. I saw that eyeball raise. Here it comes. I know it's coming. Can I tell you something? Give your time. Do you know you show God how much you love him by giving him your time? When's the last time you read that book on your own? When's the last time church became a priority to you? When's the last time doing something for God became priority to you? Give him your time. Did you know that you can give by praying? Yeah, praying. Praying takes time. Prayer is time. Do you know I get to go talk to the God of the universe for people? Whew, what an honor. I don't think it's a chore. I take it as an honor. There's times that some of you will get a text from me. It's an odd hour and says, I've been praying for you. Can I tell you why? Because I was thinking about you and trying to love you. My phone went off at about 10 till 5 this morning. I'd already been up. I was a pastor friend in a distant place and said, Preacher, just wanted you to know I'm praying for you this morning. Man, did I feel loved. Somebody got up and prayed for me. Wow. What a wonderful thing to pray for one another. Did you know that giving is by going soul winning? When you're giving the gospel to somebody, you're giving. Courtney and Brother Stoltz and my daughter and Julianne were out on the bus route yesterday. And Courtney and Brother Rich had two people saved, and my daughter and Julianne had one saved. Can I tell you something? They were showing God how much they loved God by giving the gospel. They were showing God how much they loved him by going out and going soul winning. They were showing other people how much they love by going out and going soul winning. Can I tell you something? Not every time you go does everybody get saved. And sometimes they say some pretty nasty things to you. You're not accountable for how they receive it. You're just supposed to give it. I can't make Mike love me. I don't care how mean or nasty he can be to me. Guess what? I'm supposed to love him in spite of that. Now, he's not mean and nasty, just so you know, except to Arlene when she needs it. but we're supposed to love by our giving and by soul winning. Can I tell you something? God said we're supposed to love him with our finances. That's why he said, I want you to tithe. I'm going to teach you something very important about tithing. Once you begin learning how to tithe to the local church, you'll start loving your church more and be there more. I'll promise you. I don't look at the tithing statements. I don't know who gives, who does not give, but I promise you this. Those that do give love their church more. I'll promise you that. Say why? Because it's in the Bible. That's why he said, bring your tithes to the storehouse. Don't just send it in, bring it in. And when you invest in it, it means more to you. You'll love it more. You won't get as contrary in church if you're investing in it. Everybody doing all right? Okay. Said that as nice as I know how. Number three. So we're supposed to serve to love. We're supposed to give to love. And lastly, we're supposed to obey to love. John chapter 15, verse number 10 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. You don't obey because you love. You obey to love. Let me say that again. You don't obey because you love. You obey to love. Did you get that, Wally? She texted me.
She's sitting over here. She's been sitting here laughing.
Oh, I know. That's why I didn't look that way.
She was getting ready to be friends with the Bible.
When my children were growing up, my daughter's sitting here. She knows exactly where I'm headed with this statement before I make it. It came time for me to have to apply the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge. Came time to discipline. I would take my children and say, I love you. And I love you enough to where I'm going to obey God and I have to spank you. Oh, it would break their heart. You don't have to love me so much. Remember that one? Anyway, but I would say, and this is what I would say. I said, you don't love me. Yes, I do. No, if you loved me, you would obey me. You don't love your mama. Yes, I do. No, you don't. If you obeyed your mama, you would love her. Your disobedience says, I don't love you. And as much as I love you, I love God most, and I must obey him whether you do or not. And I'm not going to let your disobedience keep me from obeying God. And then we would have our powwow. I would pow, they would wow. May I say this? Let me ask you a question, Christian. Do you love God? Wait a minute. If you love him, you'd obey him. If you loved him, you would obey him. Teenager, do you love your mama? Do you love your daddy? Well, you'll prove it by how you obey them. Husbands and wives, we prove our love to each other by how we obey. Fellas, just say, yes, ma'am, and it's okay.
That's it.
Now, wait a minute. We are to prove our love by our obedience. Listen to me. We show God how much we love him by obedience to that book right there. Everything God gave us, he said, in that are the words of life. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That means everything's in there for us to live and for us to live the way God wants us to live. Now watch this. We're not supposed to rewrite it and make another version so that we can live the way we would like to live. Everybody doing okay? King James Bible is good enough for us. Trust me. It's the most accurate. It is the perfect, the only true word of God in English for the English-speaking people. Well, I know of other Hebrew texts and Greek texts. You don't know of any Hebrew and Greek texts. If you knew Hebrew and Greek, you'd find out the King James Bible follows it exactly.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Exactly. Now listen to me very carefully. We're not supposed to be rewriting his words. By the way, did you know that if my daughter goes out and says something contrary to what I say and says, my dad said it, she's in trouble? You say, why? She's misusing my words. She's saying something I did not say. What man has a right to rewrite what God said?
Amen.
Well, we're scholarly. Yeah, you're worshiping yourself. You're worshiping yourself. By the way, not learning the Bible, we don't show God we love him. How can we love him and obey him if we never read his word to know what to obey? If we don't show up at church to hear the preaching of the word of God to teach us more of how to live so that we can obey him more. God says that we're supposed to love him by obeying him. By the way, our world is filled with saying we love and we care without doing anything about it. Oh, liberals are real good about this. Well, we should all love each other, so we have to include everybody. Can I tell you something? 0.03% of America's population are sodomites. 0.03%. And we are going to rewrite all of the laws for all of the bathrooms in America over 0.03% of America's population. I'm not allowed to say what I'm thinking right there. Well, you just don't have love. Okay. Well, the Muslim religion is a peaceful religion. It teaches love. Yeah, it teaches you to love Allah and anybody that doesn't believe in Allah and anybody that doesn't, and anybody that claims that they love Jesus Christ is to be killed. Oh, that's a real wonderful religion of love. By the way, that's what their book says, not what I said. Why is it that we Christians are now considered the bad people? Everybody doing all right? I loved it. Up in Washington State, some 85-year-old granny, somebody broke into the house and started beating her husband up, and he had gotten her a pistol for Christmas, and she pulled it out, 357, and shot him 3 times and killed him. Yeah. Somebody said, "We thought you were a loving grandma." She said, "I did. I loved grandpa." Yeah. She said, "Next person that breaks in, I'm going to do the same thing." I said, "Go for it, grandma." I love it. Pistol packing granny, amen. Don't muck with her. Wait a minute. We're supposed to obey God. We obey him by doing what he said. But if we don't know what's in there, how do we know what to do? If we don't hear this taught and we don't learn it on our own and learn it at church, how are we supposed to know what to do? And by the way, just because some guy gets up with his collar on backwards or he's on quote-unquote Christian radio doesn't mean he's teaching you what the Bible says. I'm probably going to get in trouble, but just because they have the name Baptist after their name, whether it's Southern or not. I refuse to listen to Southern Baptist preachers. They don't believe in the King James Bible. Period. End of discussion. Not a one of them. They can't and be in the Southern Baptist Convention. According to the convention rules, just so you know. I'm very careful at who I associate with. Say why? Because I don't want them to pervert my love for God or my love for you. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean I'm unkind to them. I'll be kind to them. I'll be gracious to them. I'm not going to be kind to the devil, though. I cannot wait for the day when God kicks him into hell.
Amen.
I'm going to lead the charge for the party. I can't wait to see when the devil finally gets his just dues. Be honest with you, I'm tired of pain, suffering, hurting people because of sin. I do. I told Brother Fugit this morning, I said, "Doc," I said, "each and every day gets a little harder." I said, "I'm ready for rapture. But until then, I'm swinging for the fence. I'm swinging for the fences." Can I tell you something? We don't have much time left. How about we just swing for the fences? How about we just decide we're going to obey God? Let me tell you something. If you're not sure you're going to heaven today, you're disobeying God. Jesus Christ came and paid your sin debt for you. You can't get there on your own. You've got to trust him as your Savior. Maybe you've gotten away from the Lord and it's time to express your love better. Maybe you have bitterness down inside your heart for somebody. Can I tell you something? Come to this altar and get it clean, get it right, and get yourself loving God the way you're supposed to. I'm not saying you're going to go to dinner with your enemy. I think that's foolish. But I will say this, you don't have to be angry and bitter with them. You can get it right. You can get it right. Let me ask you a question. Are you going to pay your debt of love? Owe no man anything to love. Wow. That means I owe every human on the face of the earth a debt of love. Now, I'm not all warm and squishy. Love, 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 love. Let's all hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Gag. There are some people it's easier to love at a distance, but I can still love them. But may I say this, I owe them love. I owe them love, and you owe them love. You owe God love, and you owe others love. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Who would say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, if I died today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I won't embarrass you. I won't call on you. But who would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die. But I'd like to know that someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. Somebody else? It's okay. I'm not going to embarrass you. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere wrapped up in that truth today, something that I personally needed. Something in that truth that I needed today for my life personally. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we do, the music will begin to play. When the music begins to play, if you raised your hand, why don't you come as far forward as you can? We'll pray here at the altar. If you raised your hand, not sure you're going to heaven someday, let somebody take the Bible and show you how you can obey God, love Him, and be with Him forever someday in heaven.